Simon & Schuster Audio presents The Bane Chronicles, Vampires, Scones, and Edmund Herondale by Cassandra Clare and Sarah Reese Brennan. Read by Andrew Scott.
London, 1857. Ever since the unfortunate events of the French Revolution, Magnus had nursed a slight prejudice against vampires. The undead were always killing one's servants and endangering one's pet monkey. The vampire clan in Paris was still sending Magnus rude messages about their small misunderstanding. Vampires bore a grudge longer than any technically living creatures, and whenever they were in a bad temper, they expressed themselves through murder. Magnus generally wished his companions to be somewhat less, no pun intended, bloodthirsty. There was also the fact that sometimes vampires committed crimes worse than murder. They committed crimes against fashion. When one was immortal, one tended to forget the passing of time. Still, that was no excuse for wearing a bonnet last fashionable in the era of Napoleon I. Magnus was beginning, however, to feel as if he might have been a trifle hasty in dismissing all vampires. Lady Camille Belcour was a terribly charming woman. She was also attired in the absolute height of fashion. Her dress had a darling hoop skirt, and the fall of blue taffeta in seven narrow flounces about her chair made it appear as if she were rising from a cascade of gleaming blue water. There was not very much material at all about her bosom, which was as pale and curved as a pearl. All that broke the perfect pallor of the curve of bosom and the column of neck was a black velvet ribbon and the thick shining ringlets clustered about her face. One gold ringlet was long enough so that it rested in the delicate curve of her collarbone, which led Magnus's eyes back once again. Really, all roads led back to Lady Camille's bosom. It was a wonderfully designed dress. It was also a wonderfully designed bosom. Lady Camille, as observant as she was beautiful, noticed Magnus noticing and smiled. "The marvellous thing about being a creature of night," she confided in a low voice, "is that one need never wear anything but evening clothes."
"I have never considered that point before," said Magnus, much struck.
"Of course, I adore variety, so I do seize any opportunity to change costumes. I find there are many occasions during an adventurous night for a lady to divest herself of her garments."
She leaned forward, one pale, smooth elbow resting against the Shadow Hunter's mahogany table.
"Something tells me that you are a man who knows something about adventurous nights."
"My lady, with me, every night is an adventure."
"Pray, continue your discourse on fashion," Magnus urged her.
"It is one of my favorite subjects."
Lady Camille smiled. Magnus lowered his voice discreetly.
"Or, if you choose, pray continue your discourse on disrobing. I believe that is my most favorite subject of all."
They sat side by side at a long table in the Shadow Hunters' London Institute. The consul, a dreary Nephilim heading up the proceedings, was droning on about all the spells they wished warlocks to make available to them at cut-rate prices, and about their notions of proper behavior for vampires and werewolves. Magnus had not heard a single way in which these accords could conceivably benefit downworlders, but he could certainly see why the Shadow Hunters had developed a passionate desire to ratify them. He began regretting his agreement to make the voyage to London and its institute, so that the Shadow Hunters could waste.